Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, which is Apartments.com. Apartments.com has more rental listings than anywhere else, so finding the perfect place is easier than ever, and so is finally moving in together. Just the two of you. It's a big step. Lots of new responsibilities, lots of adjustments. Most likely, they'll wake you up at odd hours to go to the bathroom, and you'll most definitely find yourself in trouble coming home late for dinner, and they might even unroll all your toilet paper next time. It's just what happens when you two find a new place together. But you're not doing it because you feel like it. No, you're doing it because you love them, because they're family. And that's why Apartments.com has more pet-friendly rental listings on the internet, so that you and your furry family can find the perfect new place together. Apartments.com, the place to find a pet-friendly place. Thank you so much, Apartments.com, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Hi, everyone. My name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. This week, we discuss the Cheaper by the Dozen reboot, we rebrand Punxsutawney Phil to piss off Fox News, we figure out the difference between horse girls and girls who gallop, and we mourn the shocking departures on this week's Drag Race. Subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts and join our exclusive Psychobabble community at patreon.com/psychobabble. If you're not on our Discord, you're only getting half the babble. Hi, Coria.
Wait, I'm not ready.
Oh!
Just kidding, I am ready. I am ready.
Where does it end? Well, are you ready?
Everything's got a beginning and an end, baby, and a middle.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Is that Closing Time lyrics by Semisonic?
It's Closing Time. Hey, I'm getting really into Semi-Charmed Life.
It's a great song.
It's incredible. I mean, I don't love the meth aspect, but like all of it. My Spotify knows, like, do you want to play Jams by Tyler Oakley or do you want to play Semi-Charmed Life? Like, those are the two suggestions that it has at the top.
My roommate was gone for like 4 days and I was really leaning into being in the shower and being all, hey, Google, play, and then like playing all of the music that I want.
Yes. Well, that should be every day of your life. What are you talking about?
Honey, I know. Well, because I get up earlier and I usually get up and I run and then I eat and I shower and I do all that before he's even awake. And our bathroom's kind of close to his bedroom. So I can't be like, hey, Google, play Semi-Charmed Life.
Well, you know what?
His slumber.
Who gives a fuck? You should be all, okay, Google, play spooky sounds, and maybe he will just incorporate itself into his dream.
Play some Rattling Chains.
Sure. Or you know what I do? I just bring my Rattling Chains into the shower. So when I'm getting all, you know, and then also that helps with if you need to make rust.
Do you ever put your Rattling Chains through your belly button ring and wear as like a waist bracelet, the girls of the 90s?
Yes. Well, no, what I usually do is, so you know those, the belt loops of your denim?
Yeah.
And how you can have chains chained to, you know, and then maybe at the end of the chain, there's your wallet or something.
So you're...
I loop it through my belly button ring so that if anything ever happens and anybody yanks it, it also yanks out my belly button and then everything spills out.
Daddy Yankee.
And then big mess.
I thought you were still talking about the shower, and I thought, I didn't know you wore your denim into the shower.
Oh, are you, yes. Yes.
Are you a never nude?
Well, I feel like what I do is it's half laundry, half bathing.
Oh, yes. Smart. Yes. And eco-conscious.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
Next, you should do it while standing in a bucket while you fill the bucket, and then you can reuse the bathwater.
Do what with the bucket?
You stand in the bucket while you're showering in your denim with your rusty chains. Okay. And the instead of the water wasting and going down the drain, it's collecting in the bucket for you to reuse later. For you to like...
For my good soup.
For your good soup. You could also bathe crouton in it. You could throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Duh.
Bye later, baby.
Yeah, okay, these are all great ideas.
Yes,
thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome.
Happy belated Groundhog's Day
to
all
you.
Who celebrate.
I do.
Do you
I love that little hog.
Do you know his name right off the bat?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, that's a good drag king name.
Punxsutawney Phil?
I think so. Do you think I'll see his shadow?
I thought if the left really wants to make the right crazy, we should have just really been like, we need to change that groundhog's name to something a little more gender neutral.
What, Punxsutawney Alex?
Yes.
Or what? What's a gender neutral name? Ashley. I like Ashley as a gender neutral name because you know what? Ashley Parker Angel really changed the game with that one.
Well, there you have it. What about like Sasha? I think that goes both ways, right?
Sasha Baron Cohen, Sasha Fierce, you've got best of both worlds.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, Punxsutawney Sasha. Cool. Did he see his shadow?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Did he look? Is what I'm saying.
Every year it's all. All they do is they reverse what they say. They're like, and I know I've said this on the podcast before, but they're all, if he sees a shadow, it's 4 more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see a shadow, they're like 4 more weeks until spring. But it's like just that they're just changing what they say, you know? It's still 4 weeks. Hey, speaking of which, I saw an Instagram post that was all, only 30, like 8 more days until the sun sets at 7 p.m.
Okay.
How nice. Winter is over.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I do like having more daytime because when I'm done with a stream and it's pitch black, no matter what time of the day, it's not good. And like the dogs, I think, get a little bit spooked if we walk them in the dark, if it's dark out. I think it's like scary for them.
Do they get all fucked up with the time change? They're all like, where's my dinner?
I don't know. I haven't really asked. I think they're always asking for dinner. So like, doesn't really, they're
so
not really
they don't know. Nice. Yeah. Hungry little boy.
Yeah. Basically.
Aren't we all?
So we are watching Broad City all the way through. Hudson's never seen it.
I love.
And last night we got to the penultimate episode. So we only have one episode left. And, if you haven't seen Broad City, wow, what a great series, except for like 3 episodes in a row of the final season, but then they get back on track for the end. So like, you really should watch that. That's all. That's all I have to say about that.
I've been meaning to rewatch myself.
You should rewatch it in order. It is a true delight.
Honey, I'm not going to rewatch it out of order.
Yeah. Okay, well.
My mom, did you see my post yesterday? My mom's watching Schitt's Creek for the first time because my brother finally like gave her a Netflix login. And she's
Me?
Yes, she's you.
Okay, so she said Schitt's Creek. I tried to start that.
I know you're the reason I watched it. It was a long list of shows you told me are great, and then I finished and you didn't.
I never said it was great.
Schitt's Creek. Friday Night Lights.
I never finished Friday Night Lights. Did the lights ever go out?
Yeah, sure did.
Riggins.
I tweeted about that also, and I said, my friend, you know, Danielle, she said that Tim Riggins isn't hot. I said,
not everyone has taste, and that's okay.
That's what I said. How wrong was she?
It's chill. I'm actually chill about the lack of taste. If everyone had taste, then how would we be curators of pop culture? How could we have the podcast we have today if there weren't people that didn't have the taste?
You're right. So thank you for all having taste and listening.
No. Thank you for... Oh. Well, yeah. Yes, having just enough taste to know to listen, but not enough taste to be our competitors for the Queerty Awards.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're nominated. Baby.
Yeah, I know. I think we forgot to mention this last time.
I think we forgot to mention it last nomination.
When does voting end?
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'll put a swipe up in my Instagram story.
They stopped doing swipe up.
Well, yeah, I know, but you do the like link thing.
Yeah, it's. I think kids don't even know. Swipe up was culture, and now it's gone?
And now it's link.
It's. Listen. I feel uncomfortable with it because then I have to make an additional text area that says click this link.
No, I love, you don't have to. It's an option. I love being able to put whatever words I want. I could be all click for a whole pick.
Oh.
and then really they're just voting for the queerties.
Who are we up against?
Listen, bitch.
It doesn't matter.
I tell you. People without taste.
Right. Right. Losers, nobodies, freaks.
Should we add to our podcast bio, like, 5-time Queerty losers?
Finalist is the word.
Oh.
Nominee, perhaps. I think, have we really been nominated 5 times for this?
It's got to be like 4 or 5 at this
point. It's the Queerty's 10th anniversary, allegedly. And yeah. So, like... I vaguely remember we have definitely been nominated at least 2x.
Yeah.
I went through my tweets looking for like promo of it, but or like for archived like nomination lists, and I can't.
Maybe is this our then maybe it's our 3rd time only. Maybe it's all 3rd time's a charm.
Okay, sure. Well, it depends on the voters. So if you want to vote for us, you can. The link is, you can't swipe up, but the link is around. You can click the link, I guess. If we win, what's going to happen, Corey? An acceptance speech at the Queerties?
Yes. Well, we did get invited to attend in person.
Which is always a good sign.
That's half the battle to winning.
One thing I learned from the Teen Choice Awards, if they don't give you a seat, you're not winning.
Actually, what we'll do if we win is we'll just do a whole 30-minute episode acceptance speech.
Absolutely.
We will script it.
Mm.
We will write out 30 minutes worth of copy, and we will just read. And we'll start, we'll play music. We'll start the music about a minute in, and we'll just keep building the music louder and louder.
No, I and think maybe not 30 minutes of it. Maybe we'll each give an acceptance speech, but we'll each be in control of the playoff music for the other person.
If I start rattling chains, bitch, you know.
Is that the playoff music?
Either that or you're really moving your hips.
Me at beaches in WeHo, where the Queerty Awards will inevitably be hosted at.
Is
rattling chains
open?
Behind the stage to music people off for other categories.
Is beaches still open?
I don't know. Baby, I don't go out.
I think I'm
officially in a new era or a phase of my life because I don't remember the last time I ordered a drink, let alone paid a cover, let alone waited in a line, let alone was surrounded by humans and felt uncomfortable. It's kind of a nice thing, but I also kind of feel like, whew, what's everyone up to? Because I'm not there.
Well... they must be having fun without you.
That's impossible.
Or it's probably just the same sad experience that it always was.
You know what? I had a truly the other night.
Speaking of the same experience.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Victoria Beckham, do you know who that is?
Yes.
Posh Spice has eaten the same meal every day for the last 25 years.
Okay, same. What does she want?
Have you?
I mean, no. But yeah. I do have like 6 meals that I eat.
I think that's all humans. We right. all
so
have
like, what does
our
she
own
want?
Little
so she really honed
cookbook.
In on one, and she wants a who is her publicist if this is the leading story? What's the meal?
Her husband.
Mr. David, Soccer?
He was talking about it.
Mr. Soccer himself? What is his name?
David.
David. Beckham.
The former Spice Girls' go-to comfort food, a piece of plain old whole grain toast with salt on top.
Old? Or is it plain old? You're just saying plain old.
Plain
as a phrase. Or does she specifically need it to be old?
The quote says, a piece of plain old whole grain toast with salt on top.
You know what? Actually, when I was younger, I used to just put salt on bread.
What?
Yeah.
White bread?
Yeah, it's kind of like flavor. Because it's like, you know what?
Why don't you get butter?
What's the other option? Butter or jam? Okay, well, you're looking at everything that's in butter. The butter. You know about the butter crisis video?
Yes.
I made Hudson watch that the other day, and he's like, I don't get it. I was like, okay, well.
Okay. Well, there's a butter crisis. What's there to get?
There was a butter crisis, and, you know. Anyway, butter, you have everything that you're working with butter. And then jam is so much sugar, and so, like, salt.
What's everything you're working with butter?
Oh, butter? Cholesterol, certainly, or something. Certainly or something.
Are you a food scientist?
Certainly or something.
Hey, I watched your... Magic Mushrooms documentary.
And I did not watch Scream 5.
Well, oh my God, I am so shocked to find out you didn't do your homework.
Fantastic fungi.
I texted you a few of my opinions while watching.
I don't think I ever got those texts.
You did. You responded
instantly. I didn't realize those were having to do with... Can I read them? Corey says, Saturday night, 7 p.m. Corey says, why don't we give magic mushrooms to other animals, like dolphins, and see what they do for science? And I said, I say for fun. He says, let's, for fun and science. And we left it at that.
Well, the documentary was a little like, it was very much what you said. Like, I don't know if Neanderthal is the right term, or like Homo erectus or whatever. Some sort of prehuman all ate a magic mushroom out of like dinosaur poop. I was looking at my phone
a theory.
Little bit.
It's a theory.
Yeah. And so then they're, was it just a theory?
Yeah, baby. We don't know anything about anything.
So they thought maybe these monkeys people ate the poop dinosaur mushrooms, and then their brains just kept having psychedelic trips, and their brains just kept expanding because they kept thinking of the possibilities that the world could hold. And then they evolved into us.
Well, magic mushrooms scientifically just create more pathways between your neurological.
Right.
So that could be the effect for all animals. Is that what you're saying with dolphins?
Hell yeah. So I'm like, let's pick some of our brainiest animals. Who do you think's the smartest in the animal kingdom? Monkeys.
Humans. Monkeys.
Dolphins.
Dogs. Cats.
So let's give them all some mushrooms and see if they get opposable thumbs.
I would do it. But it happened over millions of years.
I got time, baby.
So I think the components at play were you have a societal-based or communal-based animal that can do the deed of eating some shrooms, but then also tell others within their like group, like, you should also be saying, you gotta turn this shit.
That's why I said we need one of the dolphins to become a dealer and be all first mushrooms free, baby.
Well, he wouldn't say it like that. He would say it like, right, thank you. it makes complete sense to me. I think we should do it.
Yeah. Listen, if we start now, let's do it.
Okay.
And then like our grandchildren, our kids and our grandchildren.
We enjoyed some experiences this weekend. along those lines.
You and your dolphin friends?
Me and my dolphin friends. And we, I was like, I don't know, I was, we were like having like a night in and just like giggling and wiggling and, you know, watching and laughing and playing with the dogs and blah, 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 blah.
Well, you do love to laugh.
Very true. And I was like galloping around the living room on all fours. Have you ever tried it?
I was
playing with the dogs in that way, you know. And then
my
I was
living
like,
room couldn't support me being on all fours. There's not a lot of space.
Sure,
I'd have to move the coffee table.
Well, I was like, "Hey, Hudson, you know about these people who learn how to gallop?" And then you know what I'm talking about?
Horse girls.
Horse. Well, there's a not all horse girls gallop, but all girls who gallop are horse girls. I think. But I was like, you need to see these because you can like competitively gallop and do jumps as like a...
I've seen the video. So there's a butter crisis,
we tried to pull up a video and we got sucked down a rabbit hole of... It was like a 60 Minutes episode of this family where half of the family walks on all fours and they were like, is this the missing link? And it's like... basically them hypothesizing that like half of the family's genes were like doing something real funky, like they're denim and they regressed and they like went the opposite route of instead of all standing on, you know, your legs, walking on all
walking
fours.
Upright.
And it was not as fun and lighthearted as a fun horse girl galloping, because if anything it was just like... It was, I didn't like it. It was dehumanizing in every way. I was like, oh, this is it. And then the grand reveal was they had never thought to offer these people like a walker or something. And so they were like, maybe you should try giving them a walker. And then within like months they were walking like they could.
I thought you were saying they had made the decision to crawl instead of walk. Not that like their bodies.
They never like the other kids in the family started walking at whatever age people start walking, and these ones in the family never made that.
Oh, see, you, I,
and so they were walking on all fours, but like they, it was like their fingers were bent up because they were walking like, you know, like it was a little disturbing.
I thought you were saying that there were like everyday people like me and you
who just got
fed up with walking and decided to crawl.
Well, who hasn't been fed up? And also, they weren't, these people didn't have gloves on. I'm like, okay, who?
Well, baby, some people run barefoot. They like it.
And the locals in the community were like, the kids bullied these people. It was it was like a village somewhere in another country and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, this is not the vibe I was trying to put on. I was trying to just show you girls that gallop, not like people who are
if you're trying going to tell through me something. This. Is my next homework assignment. I think I'm going to take the F.
It's not. But I do recommend any girl gallop video. Girls who get the girls who gallop, gallop, and the girls who don't.
Gorgeous, gorgeous galloping girls.
Gorgeous, gorgeous galloping girls go and vote for the queerties. They gallop on over.
They sure do.
Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Discover. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Thank you so much, Discover, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. Now, before we talk about anything else, we gotta give some love to our sponsor for today's episode, and that is Lumify. Don't you just love when someone looks at you and says, "What were you up to last night?" Well, no matter how late you were up the night before, Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops can help your eyes look more refreshed and awake. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute to help your eyes look brighter and whiter for up to 8 hours. No wonder it has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. You won't believe your eyes. You know you can trust them, though, because they're made by the eye care experts at Bausch and Lomb, and they're backed by 6 clinical studies. Eye doctors trust them, too. They're the number one recommended redness reliever eye drop. The one and only Lumify is an amazing drop that will have people saying, "Something's different about you," in the best way possible. So check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. That's LumifyEyes.com. Thank you so much, Lumify, for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast. We love you here at Psychobabble. Now back to the gossip. What else is new, Corey Cool?
I do have a question.
What?
So, and I mean no shade by this. I was having a fun night over the weekend too, where my friends and I just got stoned and we just laid on the couch and talked and listened to music. It was so nice to like not have an organized activity and just like sit and enjoy each other's company. Yes. But anyways, the topic of conversation turned to the artist Pink. And I like Pink. I appreciate her music. But I was just wondering, because you hear of all these like up and coming singers who are all, "I want to be the next Ariana Grande. I want to be the next Beyonce. I want to be the next Rihanna." Have you ever heard someone out there who's just like, "I want to be the next Pink"?
No.
Do those girls exist?
And like, does anybody ever be like, "I want to be the next Beyonce"? Who's saying that?
People say that.
No, I feel like artists these days nowadays, they're all like, "I'm not the next anyone. I'm the first me."
Well, then they're all like, well, they still get asked like dumb questions on talk shows and shit where they're like, "Who was influential for you growing up?" Which is a roundabout way of sometimes asking that. And then they're like, "Oh, I loved so and so and so and so." But does anyone ever say like Pink?
Certainly. I don't know the girls.
And you know, there's these like pop up and coming pop girls that like gays and people who are in the know sometimes like know and have heard of before.
You can just say gays. You don't. This redundant before, to say and but, people who are in the know.
And just like gays. And the straights haven't heard of them yet. And then we're all like, "Oh," but like no one's really in Pink's lane.
Baby, why don't you cook up this idea and you get back to me when it's part of your stand up? Anything else you want to say about Pink? The girls who know Pink would know that they should aspire to be Pink because Pink is the most selling artist of all time in Australia.
No. Is she?
I think so, actually. She's the most successful touring artist in Australia, I think.
Does she still?
Sometimes I just say things. And yeah. I realized
I know.
I realized the other night I was just like saying things and somebody was like, "Is that true?" And then I thought, you know what?
No,
you're going to have to Google it too, though, because I heard from someone. I was saying something that I had heard from Mamrie and Grace on their podcast. And then when somebody questioned it, I said, "Actually, I don't know if I can trust the source," not to call out Mamrie and Grace, but I certainly didn't Google it after they said it. I took it for fact. I don't know what it was, but.
So what do you think Mamrie and Grace think of Pink?
What? Think of Pink?
Yeah, you think they love her? You think they want to be the next Pink? You
think I don't think either of them want to be the next Pink. No, I don't.
Do you think either of their vocal stylings lend to that of Pink?
No. Oh. But I do think they have the ambition to fly around a theater.
Do you think she still does that at every show? I imagine
absolutely. Yes.
Every show she's like up there, Cirque du Soleil-ing.
I think Pink is very aspirational.
What's your favorite Pink song?
So what?
And now, thank you for this week's sponsor, Pink.
No. I would like to look up, because Pink has a very good greatest hits album. Yeah.
God is a DJ, baby.
God is a DJ. She really nailed it when she said that.
Yeah.
I'm
telling you, I'm really not trying to shade her at all. I quite like Pink. I mean, some of her songs are very like So What and You in Your Hand. But like,
you don't like Funhouse?
What would you? Oh my!
And you now don't it's feel misunderstood?
With, and now it's filled with evil clowns.
Oh!
If you were going to describe her in three words, her like musical stylings, what would you say? Is this a Pink
raw?
No beef? Is that for real?
Raw?
Yeah.
Raw might be one of them because she's very, like, gritty. And she's very, like, she's emotional. And she's, like, she's not afraid to be ugly or dirty or, like, vulnerable. Like, she's very raw. And
yeah, okay, creates. Okay.
I would say, well, you give a word.
I was talking about more about her, like, music in general.
Punk!
It's very like, no, I just picture it's very like stadium, like anthem-y.
Yeah, she's like a mom who's edgy.
My friend.
But wants to inspire.
My friend went and saw her the last time she was like touring in the Bay Area, and he said it was all lesbians at the show.
Oh, well, yeah. So I think we would really fit
He said it was all lesbians. He said he was the only guy there.
Her greatest hits album is called Greatest Hits ... So Far.
So Far.
3!
And you could have just asked me. I could have told you that off the top of my head.
I'm not joking when I say it is 21 tracks that you will not push next on.
No, I disagree with that.
No. Go try it today.
Some of them though just didn't really age well. But it's just
the party started.
See, like I might skip that. Like, was it iconic in its day?
Yes. Yeah. There you go again. Pitiful.
Do I want to listen? Oh wait, she has a
Just Like a Pill.
Oh, I love that. You, my mom loves that one.
Trouble.
Her greatest hits album came out 12 years ago.
Jesus, I know. When she said So Far, she was not joking, bitch.
She wasn't.
So I just I give it up to Pink.
And now it's filled with evil clowns.
Okay. I didn't want to end on Pink. Are we ending on Pink? There's other things that we need to talk about.
Do you want
to
talk about Rudy Giuliani being on The Masked Singer?
I guess we could. I hate the cycle that pop culture and American TV goes through every single year. It's like we act like surprised every year when somebody despicable goes on Dancing with the Stars or Masked Singer or whatever is the like the dystopian reality TV experience that is on that year.
Who do you think is the despicable person on this season of Celebrity Big Brother?
I don't know who's in the cast.
They didn't.
Oh,
they
really... you know what? I did see.
who's your answer?
I saw a promo video of an announcement of the cast, and they went one by one, revealing who was on the cast.
And you didn't know any of them other than Carson Kressley?
No. They showed the first person, and I thought, what a choice to lead with that person, because I no longer want to see who's in the rest of the cast, let alone watch. And so I don't know who's in the rest. Carson Kressley's in it? I would watch that.
I'm really rooting for Carson.
Well, yeah, we all are.
Yeah. It's a good cast-ish. It's just frustrating to watch a show like that when, like, none of them know what game they're playing. As a Big Brother fan, it's hard to, like, watch.
Well, it's annoying that they call it Big Brother, because it's not Big Brother.
What
Bitch, you want to play Big Brother? It should be longer than 2 weeks. Everyone should not be paid to be there.
Well, but even the normal people get paid to be there. They get like $1,000 a week stipend.
Like a appearance stipend per day or whatever. Or
Yeah.
But like these people are getting appearance fees and they're getting paid buko bucks just to show up. So they don't really care. They don't care if they win or lose. They have no stake in the, I mean, I'm sure they want to win and get more airtime, but like they're not getting the Big Brother experience.
No.
Put these people in a, what, 70, 80 day house,
that's
then we'll
my,
talk.
That's my complaint is it's like they do cast like four people who want to play and then there's like eight people who are just there, which makes it hard to like watch and enjoy.
I just feel like they are capitalizing on the success of Big Brother when this is really just, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Or whatever they do over in the UK.
Well, listen, Julie Chen Moonves needs there work during the winter too.
Are you going to see the Cheaper by the Dozen remake?
What? Do you think I saw the Cheaper by the Dozen original? Was
I sure didn't.
Cheaper by the Dozen. Is that that show where there were 12 kids?
Duggars.
No, Cheaper by the Dozen. In my head, it was like Steve Martin.
Yes.
The bumbling doctor.
Yes.
While Hilary Duff is the like second eldest daughter.
And Tom Welling is there. You know he went to my high school.
Okemos alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Is he now the bumbling doctor?
It's that guy from that one nurse show that's not Grey's Anatomy.
That guy from that what?
He's also in he's also in Garden State, maybe?
House?
Zach Braff.
Is he the dad?
As the bumbling dad. And then somebody else. I think it's... Hold on.
Why is there a
Gabrielle Union? Yes.
Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Gabrielle
2022.
Union? As the bumbling Mrs. Zach Braff as the bumbling Mr. And I don't know any of these other... I don't know the children. But it looks like I'm counting the people on the cover. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7...
There's a cover?
Wait, yeah, it's baby, it's, yes, I'll send it to you right
it's
now.
It's post-production?
It's post-production, honey. It's a Disney Plus original, I don't know.
Zach Braff and Gabrielle Union juggle family chaos in the first trailer for Disney Plus's Cheaper by the Dozen reboot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I count 10 children and 2 dogs on the cover, a little chihuahua and a big Doberman or something.
Well,
so like are 2 of the dozen dogs?
Yes, baby. Why not? Baby, all of these people walk around on all fours.
Oh my God, a galloping Cheaper by the Dozen. The only difference is they gallop. Everyone in the family gallops.
Yes.
I would watch. I would actually watch that. And I would like it to not be addressed why they gallop or why they're all on all fours.
Well, there you have it. Oh, did you just send me a picture of this?
Yes.
Do you think I want this?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I also would like to touch on Drag Race because...
Oh, shit. Yeah, we've got... 5 minutes.
Yeah, two big updates happened, and I think it's important.
Let's finish it out.
If you're not all caught up, you should.
Then you can end the episode now and go vote for us on the Queerties.
Bam, bada, bing, bada, boom.
Gallop on over.
Did you watch UK versus the World?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like it? Do you care?
It's interesting. It's. I will watch it, as I've said. I was like not blown away in the first episode, although I was happy with the elimination.
Wow. I mean, you know what? I thought the a correct person was in the bottom. However, I am bummed. Here's what I'm hoping for. Okay, so basically what they did was a talent show. Lemon, who I was very excited to watch, gave a fierce performance, but it was a little bit dead in the face, was the complaint, I think. Yeah. Like, she just wasn't really animated. And she ended up going home. Is this a queen I would have wanted to see more from? Yes. So, like, I'm a little bit, like, bummed about that. But when there's only, like, what, 8 people in the cast?
Right.
People got to go home. So that's the name of the game.
What I was saying is, when it came down to the bottom two, I wanted Lemon to go home. If I had my, like, pick of the litter to go home in the first week, no. The person I wanted to go home didn't. But
who did you want to go home?
I'm just not in love with Bag of Chips.
That's fine. You don't have to be. When we are talking about reality contestants, not humans, yeah. in this way. Like, we're talking about as contestants in a reality show, you're allowed to have preferences.
I just got a little nervous because I get that they're like the ones when they come back for a second season and they have a shtick from the first season and it's very brown cow stunning for 8 episodes. Like, yeah. I just like if I have to sit through 8 episodes of Much Better, I'm not gonna be happy about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm also kind of like, I don't know if I needed to see more from any of the UK queens. Like, I liked all three of them. But, like, when I think of people coming back to All Stars, or I guess now UK versus the World, or whatever it's going to be, like, I should be like, oh, I'm seeing the evolution. Like, Shangela really gave the evolution. Do I think Jujubee is going to give me the evolution? No.
No.
I think Blue Hydrangea, so far, it's been an interesting like presentation. So maybe she is going to give me some type of evolution from what she was before. But is Bag of Chips giving me evolution? I don't think so. Is Cheryl Hole giving me evolution? I don't think so. Maybe there's a lot left to be shown, and I would like to see it. I mean, Jimbo is my pick to win.
Yeah. I mean, you're saying exactly what I was saying. And I said it after the cast announcement, too. It's like, I enjoyed some of the season one UK queens on their first season, but now it feels like it's been so long. Like, I was more excited to see other UK queens from like season two and season three. And then the three that they brought from season one, I wasn't super high on like any of them during their first season. I enjoyed moments of theirs. So I feel like, yeah, I would have much rather probably seen any of the three of them go home versus Lemon in the first episode. But once it shook out who the bottom two was, I really wanted Janie to stay.
Yeah, I'm very into, is it Pangina? Pangina.
Yeah, Pangina.
Pangina Heels, who is the Drag Race Thailand host. I love a host coming and competing. Love it.
Yeah.
It's vulnerable. It makes me like respect the casting of them being a host in the first place, because it's like now they gotta fucking show why they deserve to be a franchise leader. Like, I would have liked if every host from the international series came and competed. That I think is like exciting and interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brooklyn, come on now.
I didn't know anything about Pangina because I had only watched like the first season of Drag Race Thailand. So I was excited. Like, I didn't really know what to expect, but I was impressed in the first episode and I liked a lot of what she did. And I thought she really did win that lip sync. Jimbo was just kind of flouncing around up there.
Do you think Jimbo threw it?
No. I had friends who've seen Jimbo perform at bars and said it's very that.
Well, yeah.
But it's she's more of a skit comedy queen. Like,
right. Jimbo's talent show, the girls that get it, the girls that don't. And I think I had a conversation with somebody. We were talking about like who we liked and who we didn't like, and somebody said Jimbo was boring, and I was like, oh my god, imagine not getting it to the extent of calling it boring. I'm like, oh, you're dumb.
And I thought her runway look was like above and beyond the most exciting.
Yeah, she came to say like, I am every part of drag that you can test me on, and I will do it. I guess except lip syncing.
Well, thankfully, they only have to lip sync for the wins and not for their lives this time.
Jujubee's talent show.
I fast forwarded it.
Like, I understand.
I love Jujubee.
I understand, but everyone can want to pursue whatever they want to pursue. But, like, where's the twist that makes it exciting?
Yeah.
There's no nerve or edge to it.
I was watching at the same time as a friend, and they were watching from their house. I was watching from my house, and they were like 3 minutes ahead of me, and I was trying to catch up so we could be like watching and texting together. And then when I saw she was like singing a slow song, I thought, I am above and beyond one of the biggest Jujubee stands, but I don't want to watch her sing a slow song. So I
didn't she do that in a previous talent show?
Yeah, I think I fast-forwarded that too.
Like, I want to root for Jujubee because I love Jujubee, and I always appreciate Jujubee being on a season because I think she's funny and she gives good talking head, and she's like,
yeah,
she's great. She's a wonderful franchise, face. But yeah. I'm like, if this is what her fourth time around, you better fucking give me a reason for you to have been cast four times. Like, the fourth time better be like nothing like what we've seen so far, and I just don't think we're getting that. So, I mean, I'll watch it all. You know I will. I'm most excited for Mo Hart, artist formerly known as Monique Hart.
I will say I really enjoyed her looks. The first, like, every look she brought.
That green look?
Whew. Yeah, I was like, stunning, incredible. Brown cow stunning, incredible. Seems like she's really leaning into this like villain slot though, so I'm gonna see how that plays out. But the looks are there. I didn't love her song either, to be QH, but even during the performance, I thought she looked great.
I think I'm excited. I think my final lineup would have been with Lemon, but I think Pangina, Mo Hart, and Jimbo.
Final three?
Those are my final three picks.
Damn.
UK versus the world. No UK left. But certainly they're going to keep somebody from the UK for UK versus the world. For the finals.
Bag of chips?
I don't know. Okay, let's also talk Drag Race US.
US. Cool. So I watched the like they always do like the first act, and they release it on Wednesdays, like the first 10 minutes ahead of the Friday episode. And I was all excited to watch this last week. And then they cut it after 2 minutes. And I was like, damn, what the F is going down in the first 10 minutes that they had to cut it and only show us 2 minutes? And then I watched the episode and I saw what had happened.
Mm hmm.
Yeah. Thoughts, questions, concerns. So they come back into the workroom. I was curious as to how they managed to, because the people were genuinely surprised that Cornbread wasn't there. So I was like, how did that work? How did they goop the entire cast into not realizing she was there until they were all like around the table?
Well, I think they're all in different holding rooms, or at least split up into groups within.
That's what I thought.
And nobody's allowed to be talking in the first place if there's no cameras. So like, and I bet if they're all staying somewhere, they were brought in vans, multiple vans. And right. So like,
that
you wouldn't know who's
too.
Missing from the other van.
Yeah, I thought they must do it in like two groups, two vans, two holding rooms, everyone on ice, which is all don't talk. And then when they walked in, they realized that she wasn't in either group. But anyways, they announced that she had hurt her ankle during a comedy skit thing she had done. the week before, and the doctor said she couldn't perform, or she needed to like have very little movement on it for like 6 to 8 weeks. So she's out.
She is out. I mean, this is a not. One could even say we have reached a pattern on Drag Race of queens getting injured, who are front runners, like Eureka, and who was the one in the UK, the cis straight
Victoria Scone.
Or I don't know if she was straight. Was she a lesbian?
I don't know. She don't was know. Only there for like
Victoria Scone. Who else has been injured?
I think I that's it.
I mean, I guess when you go on Drag Race, you know it is a there's going to be a lot of movement and stuff, but it feels like how are so many queens getting injured? I don't know. A lot of people on my timelines were being like, why is this show so dangerous for drag queens?
But it's also like everything that every instance that we named, I mean, they injured themselves. It wasn't like anything was like asked of them to do something that they like, no one told them to like roll on the floor or slide on their knee or do a high kick.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe
you're right.
Eureka's, because that was that the cheerleading challenge? I don't remember.
I think so.
But the others were like performance, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because I definitely thought Cornbread was a front runner. I think it definitely like opens the door for some others to kind of flourish or kind of like take a third spot or a fourth spot into the like final four or final three, whatever they end up doing this season. It'll be interesting to see if they invite her back. It seems like she was a fan favorite so far, so probably highly likely that she'll be back next season.
Yeah, it was the best thing that could have happened for literally everybody in the cast. Like, she was a finalist contender, if not a winner edit, from my point of view. And I think all of them knew she was, like, she had charm. She, like, the judges loved her. Like, if you have that, you make it a lot further than some of these queens who, like, feel like they have an uphill battle even, like, trying to present their drag to the judges. Yeah. So I actually appreciated Diabetti being like, being honest that like, because I feel like some queens wouldn't want to say that like, oh, what a relief that the competition is getting out. But like, that is probably how all of them are feeling. I know Willow was emotional about it, but like, I think Willow was also being honest when Willow said, well, I pictured the two of us at the end together.
I don't know. I appreciated that they like let her film a little video and like say a little message to everybody, which I thought was cute. I'm glad they let her showcase her like exit on Untucked. I didn't see, I assume she had already done like a whatcha packin' with Michelle. I didn't watch it myself, but I thought I saw a clip on Instagram that somebody had like cut of one of their conversations, and I thought she looked incredible there. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because it was similar to when Victoria Scone got injured on UK last season, and she was definitely someone I thought was going to go far. So we'll see now who the new top four will be.
It was also interesting having the episode lead with that. And then watching, okay, you know this is a TV show. You know there are producers. You know people are crafting storylines and making contestants seem like they could make it all the way. Like, that's part of making the audience root for certain contestants, is like showing them in a way that makes you think, okay, well, maybe they could go all the way and maybe even possibly win. Like, it's boring if only one seems like they could win. And so you see, like, I don't want to say, like, Cornbread leaving is the reason why other queens are now being highlighted, but I think some new faces got to shine this episode. Like, Bosco really shined. Angeria was already shining. But I think Lady Camden was shining, at least plot-wise. Though Lady Camden's look... Why is it? I'm no hater. I am not a hater. But I feel like, A, we've seen other contestants do this exact same look.
Better.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
It was interesting. I don't know. I really liked the runway theme. The challenge itself, the last couple of challenges, I thought were not great. And even when they were filming this week's challenge, which was like those like bad infomercials or whatever it was supposed to be, like when they were describing it, I thought, I don't really get it. And then I watched them film it and I thought, I don't really get it. And then I thought, maybe once they edit it all together, I'll laugh. And like, I didn't find any of it funny.
Yeah. When was there ever a Sarah McLachlan-esque infomercial for charity that
it was
rhymed?
About
why was that a thing? Why did they have to be sing-songy?
It was an interesting challenge. I didn't love the challenge. And then, yeah, the last two have felt very similar also. So I was just like, have we hit the bottom of the barrel with these weekly maxi challenges?
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite.
It was kind of like two comedy-ish acting things-ish back-to-back that I didn't feel like were super different. I don't know.
I loved seeing Georges
perform.
Kill it.
Yeah.
I think Georges, lip sync assassin of the season. I think she will be in the bottom a couple more times, and she will survive a couple more times.
Something about her performance felt like it was sped up. And I don't know if it's the way she moves or if it was actually. I thought it was incredible. Maybe I was too stoned.
But I think you were also getting you were also able to. You had no choice but to compare it to who she was lip syncing against.
That could be fair too. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I agree. I think she'll definitely be in the bottom again. I'm really thinking they'll set up a like Jasmine versus Georges lip sync because they're both big performers. So,
and the two youngest of the season.
So,
Georges is 21 years old.
A child.
I mean, yeah, I loved seeing her talk about like her parents going to drag. Like, very much represents the future of like what it means to be queer.
The youths.
Yes, the youth. The youth. The last thing I was going to say, Deja Sky, what was that about in Untucked?
Untucked? It's so interesting. I don't know. I saw, it's funny because I didn't watch Untucked Friday night, but I watched it Saturday when I got back from my run club. So I had seen tweets the night before that were like, be nice to Deja. And I was like, oh God, what are we in for? It's always so tough for me to like sit and watch anyone in Untucked who was like safe, like complain or vent. I get that it's important to get the criticism from the judges and that sort of thing, but like that's the one Drag Race trope or whatever that I'm so over, is like safe girls in the workroom afterward like complaining about being safe. I just cannot imagine if I were in that position that I wouldn't just be so grateful that I got another week. And I mean, I feel like that's like when we were on The Race and we didn't win an episode, we didn't like go back and cry and be like, we didn't get first or second place. We were like, oh, how cool, we get to race again tomorrow.
Right. I think it's, your main character syndrome is always showing. And I also didn't like them talking shit about, like, maybe Jasmine Kennedy is annoying. Okay. Maybe she talks too much, blah, 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 blah. Whatever you might feel about her if you're a contestant on the show with her. Valid, fine, whatever. But like to like talk shit about her when she's not in the room and to like be like, oh, I'm not gonna be like Jasmine Kennedy and complain, but to do that when she's not there to defend herself,
yeah,
multiple times, I don't know, it's just kind of like, oh, that it seems, that's like not a, it's just not my vibe. It's not the vibe.
Well, doesn't have to be. Anywho, I gotta go.
Oh shit, yeah, you do gotta go. Okay, Corey, where can people find you?
You can find me crawling around on all fours.
Cool. You can find me galloping on all fours. To hell, the Patreon.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Vote for us in the Queerties. We'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Love you later. Bye.